Don't you rant!
Test, 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 1, 2, all right, good.
Testing, good. Testing, testing, yeah. Testing, right. Testing, I think I'm good.
That's a lot of testes.
Yeah, I did a bit before.
That's a lot of testes.
After the reboot. You.
All right.
You testes to yourself, George.
Well, when you have that many, they kind of tend to wander.
When they're so enormous, they can't be constrained by your pants, by any conventional pant.
No, not even MeUndies, even if we were being sponsored by them.
Woohoo. Sure, if we were sponsored by them, we'd pretend that they did contain.
Oh, yeah, testes. Yeah. No, if they were paying us money, they'd be like, they can hold any size ball.
Any.
Plural. Any configuration.
Yeah. Hanging left, hanging right.
But pretty doesn't matter sure that if you have pants. More than two. No, three, maybe four. You should probably get that looked at because maybe you could like donate one to science or donate one to someone who doesn't have one.
Someone who perhaps lost one might be grateful for someone else's.
Lost one in like a terrible basketball accident.
Is that what happened to someone? I feel like that rings a bell.
Yeah, it's from the movie While You Were Sleeping. Sandra Bullock movie.
What? That was not the movie I had in mind.
Yeah, he.
Is that right? Is that serious?
The joke is the fact that he was playing basketball with some of his friends, and someone had a pencil in their back pocket for some reason.
Oh my!
And he went up for a layup, and he came down, and he has one of his grapes got skewered, and so that was like the joke that like he only had one testicle, and that's how she convinced his family that she was his fiance because she knew he only had one testicle because she had heard that story in like the elevator or something.
Wow, you know way too much about that movie, George.
Hey, man, I've seen it once at least.
You can let some of that go.
It's actually my Bible. I live my life by While You Were Sleeping. Everything. It's more like a WWSBD is my mantra. And I ask myself that every day when I get out of bed.
I feel like it's not a good role model movie, George. You shouldn't be aspiring to creep around dead people. Or people in comas.
No, he wasn't dead. He was in a coma. And then he woke up. And then he had amnesia. And then she convinced him. And then she fell in love with his brother. Like you do.
I don't remember the brother bit.
Yeah.
I don't remember
played by Master of Disguise, the chameleon, Bill Pullman.
Oh, Bill Pullman.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I'm a big fan of Bill Pullman.
Well, that's because he plays the same character in every movie.
Yeah.
Like every movie is the same character. Oh, you're the president? You're Bill Pullman. Oh, you're the brother of the guy with one ball, and while you're sleeping, you're Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman. Kind of takes me out of it.
Those are all things I can actually think he's been in, actually, at the moment.
Well, I think maybe you should take a rest. You've done enough, Bill. Take a break.
Well, if all that babble hasn't clued you into what's going on, hey guys, Neil and I are recording a special episode for you guys because we have nothing better to do.
That's right. Hi, George.
Hey, how's it going?
Things are going.
Hey,
they're going all right. I'm all right. I'm good. I'm good, George.
Neil is fine.
Well, it's Christmas,
stop sending letters.
I don't know if it's going to be Christmas when you guys listen to this.
Probably not. Given how we release things, it'll probably be July, but, you know, that'll be fun. It'll be a little Christmas in July.
Indeed. Just like the Gremlins.
Yeah. Ho, ho, ho. That's a gremlin.
Christmas movie released in July. Well, yeah, so we're here to talk about two things. Well, we're going to do two of these special episodes, George, and there's another one I think maybe the listeners may have already had. We're not sure what the hell.
We don't want to create like a space-time paradox, but we're pretty sure that by the time you hear this, you will have heard our other special episode. But just in case, we won't tell you what it is, so you can still be surprised if we haven't released it yet.
It's musical in its nature.
It is. And that so not just our voices, not just our dulcet tones, not just our linguist interplay. It's actually about music.
Yeah, and not the musical fruit.
No, that's more toot. Like, yeah, that's a lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so that has probably hit your feeds. This one is right now hitting your feeds, and then
speaking of feeds, eat beans, people. They're a lot of fiber, they're good for you.
They are good for you. You could clear out the system.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this one we are going to talk about the Red Letter Media. Is that right, George?
Yep.
Red Letter Media commentary track for the movie Gremlins.
The first one. The good one. I mean, the first one.
Gremlins. Actually, Gremlins.
The actual Gremlins.
The movie Gremlins.
The OG batch.
You know what? When I was going through this, George, you know, it's been a long time since we've actually talked about Gremlins. We talked about Gremlins 2 fairly recently, but actually just getting back to talking about the original movie, it's quite refreshing. I like it.
I tell a lot of people about what we've done, and I've mentioned it a few people in the last, you know, probably like maybe a dozen or so people or so, and it's always that whole, wait, you do what conversation? And it never goes much past that because they don't really ask a lot of questions after that conversation goes down.
They try and get out pretty quick after that.
Yeah, but that's what the duct tape is for. And so we're fine. We're fine.
You're going to listen.
There's no pending allegations in any way, shape, or form.
Not yet, anyway. Now, before we get started in this, George, I've got two things to do.
Neil's got housekeeping.
A bit of housekeeping. Now, first of all, George, it is coming up to Christmas. We're recording this, what is it, the 21st? 22nd?
Yep. It's the solstice, so it'll be dark in about 13 minutes.
Indeed. Have you got your Christmas rope up yet?
No, because I refuse to believe that exists.
It definitely exists. It's even been evidenced by Niall, our good friend Niall McGowan, friend of the show, on the Facebook listeners group, George. He posted where you could actually buy it. Etsy.
That was plastic. That was an actual rope. That was like garland.
Yeah, kind of didn't look like quite the right thing.
It wasn't actual woven textiles and fabrics. It wasn't harnessed from the Lorax tree.
I still think I'm going to have to get some commission because I haven't ticked that box yet for my recreation of the Pelzer home, George, which is coming on quite nicely.
I don't know if you're going to go one to one on everything. You're going to have to make a little bit of a nudge here and there on your aesthetic choices.
I've got the big brass pot with the tap on the front, so that's a tick
for your moonshine.
Oh, you put that in if you want. I got the bowling ball trophy.
Neil, I had a question. Is there so in the South? There's like moonshine and there other parts. There's like weird like alcohols that are sort of like underground made. Does England have one of those, like a liquor or something that you guys brew or distill out of found objects that is very, very, very homespun? Or do you just drink beer?
Yeah, it's more of a, not really, to be honest, George. I feel like, you know, one thing we have in the UK is what we call allotments. It's a little portion of land that's sectioned off into tiny chunks, and you can buy or rent an allotment. Maybe you're living in the suburbs or something like that, maybe in the city, and you haven't got a garden of your own. You'll maybe take a short drive or a walk to your allotment, and then you'll grow things in your allotment. And I feel like that's where, if that did happen, that's where people would
do it. So you guys sublet garden space?
Yeah.
That's weird.
You can buy them, so it's yours.
I guess we have much more land over here in America. So, you know, you typically just own the land and you do or you don't. You typically, like, there's not a lot of like rental of
right.
like a four
patches. What, I mean,
hectares? How what do you guys measure in?
Well, these are tiny. These be yards.
Cubits?
Little. This would be like, square meter. It'd be like, I don't know, like 20 square meters, something like that. And you just grow some vegetables, you know, for your own personal use. Maybe you'd sell them in a market.
So you guys made like alcohol out of turnips?
Well, that's why I was thinking. If you normally, if I had an allotment, of course you'd have a little hut. So when it's cold, you can go in the hut, get a little radio on. Maybe that's where people would make the moonshine. And I was thinking exactly that, George, vodka out of turnips. That'd be quite nice.
Turnip vodka. I don't know. See, here, that's another thing, though. I'm partial. I don't really like vodka that much. So you can make it out of whatever you want to make it out of. Probably not going to like it.
Matt, I'll give you a little insight into my world, George. I love Christmas. The best thing about Christmas is Christmas dinner. And the best thing about Christmas dinner, mashed turnip.
Although I was thinking that if you were going to make a cocktail out of distilled turnip vodka, it should be called Turnip Down for What?
Turnip Down.
Don't worry. Everyone's going to laugh at that.
Yeah, good one, George. Well, so okay, you haven't got your Christmas robe up yet. Have you done your Die Hard Gremlins double bill yet?
That's in the works. Might be doing a group watch of that with some Discord people if things go well.
Wow. Big. Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, I might begin doing that in the next couple of days. That's
well,
been,
you've only
been
got a couple of days.
Bandied about. Yeah, last year, honestly, last year, the only like Chris and Beth came over and we just drank old fashions and watched the movies and it was great. We had a good time.
That's what you do. Friend of the show, Crystal Beth.
Yep. Friend of everybody's
movies
show.
By Minutes Maven.
Triple M.
All right. Well, that was my questions for you, George. Did you have a no random question for me?
No. Don't have to. No, I'm good. No, I'm pretty. All right. I think I know what's going on.
Well, so before we do get stuck in, there's one more item of business on the agenda, George. We've got some Gremlins news.
Oh yeah, what's this?
I feel like I should have a little musical interlude there, George. The news theme, Gremlins news theme.
Put in a slide whistle or something.
We'll find something. Right, three items on the agenda here, George. Gremlins news. Announced as part of the Warner Brothers Iconic Moments movie series, which seems like a list that nobody really needs. Part of that is the Gremlins. And this is just one of these collections. They kind of then reissue all of these movies on like re-edition Blu-rays with kind of new cover art. And to be honest, that's about it. There's nothing more to it than that, really. Now, what this one particular thing does is it focuses on iconic moments in various Warner Brothers movies. This is not the same thing as the recent 4K anniversary release, by the way. We'll get
totally
to that.
Totally different.
But there is new cover art. Which moment in Gremlins do you think it was that they chose?
The bar scene.
Bar scene, okay. Well, it's not. I thought it was probably going to be...
The movie theater?
It was. I thought it was probably going to be the kitchen combat. Mm. No, it was... The quote that they put on the website is, it's when Rand says, don't give him any water. I'm like, what?
From the beginning in the living room?
I think so. I took this to just mean it's the three rules generally.
I guess.
It's a bit of a, I don't really know what the hell they're talking about, to be honest.
Because we know this is direct Asimov of Omar homage.
Now, I don't like the cover art they chose for this, George.
I'm sorry.
It's kind of a greeny thing, and it's like got this... it's just basically got a picture of a clock, like Billy's clock radio on his side of his bed. And then it's got a little picture of Gizmo or something on it. I didn't like it. But I do like... hold on. We'll get onto the 4K release. If you go... Just finally on this bit, if you go to the Warner Brothers website, you can find this list... click on the Gremlins and so that you see all of the movies set out and they've all got a little tile. Click on the Gremlins one, George. Takes you to the full page of the Gremlins release on this with a picture of the Phantom of the Opera Gremlin from Gremlins 2.
Oh.
I mean, come on,
but that's
people.
The wrong one.
It's the wrong one. That's totally come on. The wrong movie.
And he's like in there for like 14 seconds total.
This is Warner Brothers, George. It's shoddy.
Warner
anyway,
Brothers
the list
shit.
Includes... The list includes the likes of classics like 1942's Casablanca, 1959's North by Northwest, and 1994's The Mask.
I believe all of those movies would have benefited by Gremlins.
Especially The Mask.
I mean, that might be a little heavy-handed, but I think North by Northwest with the plane scene, I mean, come on.
Yeah. That plane probably was piloted by Gremlins. Thinking about it,
I would love to have a cutaway and just have them laughing behind the stick, like the gremlins that were driving the Kentucky Harvester.
Yeah,
the first one, just like a just when maniacal plane, laughter. Yeah,
when the plane leaves,
no, when he's chasing when he's chasing Jimmy Stewart through the corn.
Oh yeah. What about the plane in Casablanca at the end when he takes his girlfriend flies off in it? What if that was piloted by the gremlins and all of a sudden you just see a gremlin pop its head out? That would be cool.
Yeah, that would work. It'd be funny though if she got on the train or the plane at the end, and like you know, she shut the door, and then like you saw like a bunch of gremlins in the plane with her.
Yeah, you just hear the laughter.
Yeah, like maybe there's silhouettes on the wall. That'd be great.
Oh yeah, not CGI though. Silhouettes, George. Actual puppet.
Just that one. There's one. There's no, one. No. Cell animated CGI shadow in there.
Don't believe that's true. 1st of October, George, saw the Gremlins released on 4K Blu-ray. Isn't that magnificent?
Yeah, if you can afford a TV that actually makes it worth a damn, which who can? I can't.
I don't. Nope. It also had a limited run in selected cinemas, George. Did you get to see it at
the I didn't see it. I didn't see the 4K. I'll have to keep an eye out for it because I don't think it played here yet. I think mostly he was talking in the it was in the UK first because that's what you and Niall were talking about doing to see it.
Yeah, it's on selectively right now. It was on last night. I was trying to get it last night to go, but just couldn't make it work. But yeah, it's on. I think if it's back, if it's still on January, I'll go see it then.
Yeah.
Go on, George.
No, I was gonna say if it comes through here, I'll definitely give it a shot. But I saw it in the theater. Remember a couple years ago when I went with Jamie, Dr. Jamie, mm-hmm. friend of the show.
Yeah, friend of the show.
And we went to go to the play along where you can throw plates and eat candy and quote and yell at the screen and you know that sort of thing. It was great fun. It was great fun. But I've never seen like a movie in the theater with like a solemn like we are watching a movie type vibe. So I would like to see that too.
Yeah, I think so too. I'll try. I don't like the cover art for this either, George. The 4K.
Well, if it's not Mondo, Neil, you're not into it.
That's kind of true.
Yeah.
Mondo is awesome, but this one is like a weird mustardy yellow color. You know how I hate mustard, George.
It's so good though.
It's like a horrid yellow background with just like a gizmo sitting on the kind of Gremlins logo, some Gremlin hands around it. Don't like it. There's no Christmas rope for Snow, George. Mr. Traitor.
It's ridiculous.
I do like the Steelbook edition though, George. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll post the Steelbook edition because I refuse to post the other two on the Facebook group.
Well, no, post all three and then have people vote on them. Do like a poll. Right. Yeah, do all three and have people do a poll on them. I like that idea. Got to generate some interaction, Neil. We can get some traction on the Facebook group.
Nice. I do like the Steelbook edition. It looks like Gizmo in the Red Room from Twin Peaks.
Oh, I would also like to point out, like anyone who has listened to the show since we have last aired, which was April 1st, 2019, and joined the Facebook group and contributed, like thank you for doing that. That's awesome. Like we did not expect this to have any sort of life after we wrapped it up, but it's still chugging along. People listening to it. I think we had like a couple hundred downloads in the last month. So thank you. And carry on. Tell a friend.
Please. Welcome new listeners.
Send us money.
Join the Facebook group. People still sometimes randomly post stuff on there.
Every now and
normally
then.
Normally pineapple related.
I mean, I posted something last night, Neil.
You did?
Yeah.
You did, absolutely.
Topical.
So that's out of all the new releases, George, on Blu-ray, personally, I still like the old Diamond Lux edition myself.
That's the one I have, and it's fantastic.
It's great, isn't it? Last item on the Gremlins news agenda is, well, ironically, no news about the Gremlins cartoon.
Still in production?
Yeah, but I thought what I would do is just give a little, here's what we know so far. It's called, or will be called, Gremlins Secrets of the Mogwai.
Mm-hmm.
It will be released on Warner Brothers' upcoming streaming service, HBO Max.
Oh.
Now, that doesn't launch till May 2020, George, so we're not going to get it before then. So that's another £7 a month I'll have to spend, I guess. Brilliant.
Mm.
But on HBO Max, George, there will be the full Studio Ghibli library. So that's good.
Wow.
I've already got most of them on. I've already got most of them.
Yeah, I just saw the other day a box set that's been reissued with all of them, and it's got really cool Totoro cover art on it, and it's really pretty, and like it's really nice looking.
Everything Studio Ghibli is nice looking, isn't it? We've got 10 episodes in this first season of Secrets of the Mogwai, and we know it will be set in 1920s Shanghai, which I'm excited about. It centers around a young Mr. Wing, or Grandpa Wing, meeting Gizmo for the first time.
I hope it's as racially charged as The Watchmen has been.
Ooh. Oh, I haven't seen The Watchmen.
You should watch it, Neil.
George. I have been watching The Mandalorian, thanks to certain Lego collecting listener. No names. Won't say who it is. But thanks for that. If you get Star Trek Picard next year, please send that over too. I'm looking forward to this, George, this cartoon, if it, presumably it happens, I don't know. I wonder if Gizmo will be evil at first, George, and maybe it's a young Grandpa Wing who influences him to be good.
I hope he has a teen phase that's very angsty.
Hope he gets into opium.
Mm, chase that
Maybe
dragon.
That's what chills him out. It just, you know, he's really angsty and angry, and then he just gets into the opium den. Yeah.
So the reason why Gizmo's the good gremlin is because he is completely bombed out of his mind on heroin.
He's stoned constantly.
Yep.
It's exec produced and written by a chap called Tsi Chun, who probably Chun Tsi actually got that the wrong way around Wikipedia, who worked on among some other things I've never heard of, the Gotham series, which I've never seen.
Oh yeah, I like Gotham.
Have you watched it all?
Not all of it, but I've seen bits and pieces. About 3 or 4 seasons of it.
All right. Okay. As good as it, you'd recommend it?
It's fun. It's fun. If you're, it's like Batman without actually having Batman in it.
Well, I shall have to ask our good friends over at Batminute to see what their recommendation is. Well, that was it, George. That's Gremlins news. We can back to your regular broadcasting.
All right. So we are now moving into the meat of. We've already had the potatoes. Now we're into the meat.
We've already talked about your potatoes.
Really. My potatoes and other potatoes and turnips. Lots of mashed turnips. Such things. Excellent. Yeah, so now we're just going to like touch on, not really going to like do like a blow-by-blow account of the Red Letter Media commentary track of the original Gremlins movie, mainly because they, you know, okay, this is a nice little rule of thumb of how good the movie is. If the people doing the commentary track stop talking for long periods of time because they're watching the movie. A movie they have had to have seen, I think they admit, like dozens of times, if not like, you know, 100 times. They've seen this movie a lot. And yet a good 2/3 of the way through, they just shut up. And there's long chunks of like, if you're not watching the actual movie with them, which I do, I just listen to the audio track. You have no idea what's going on because it's just them going, huh, uh-huh, and that's it.
Yeah.
Just silence and chuckling. But I mean, the movie's good. So I would recommend, just off the top of the bat, just so you know where we're coming from in this, regardless of what is about to be said, I think it's a good commentary track. I don't think it rivals some of the professional commentary tracks we've heard, but if you want to line it up and listen to it, I'd say you would not be wasting your time to do so. Yeah, considering it's the Red Letter Media version, right, Neil?
Is that the one we're talking about?
Yes.
This time.
For sure.
Do you want to tell the listeners what happened last time we tried to record this, George?
Yeah, we attempted this a few months ago, and we were having a very back and forth conversation about the contents of the things, and there's a lot of question marks. Like, wait, I don't remember that. Until about 15 minutes into said recording, we realized when Neil starts talking about them being racist, I was like, what? I'm like, oh, yeah. We come to the realization that Neil has watched the wrong commentary track from a group that's totally, he's like, I hated it. They were gross and disgusting and racist. Turns out he was watching the wrong commentary track.
I was watching the wrong one.
Who are you watching it for? Not to give them a plug, but maybe just so they can know who to avoid.
Mate, I can't even remember who it was. Three Twats.
Oh, yeah. So if you listen to Three Twat Media and you hear their commentary track on the original Gremlins movie, walk away. Just walk away.
Just stop it, yeah. I tell you what, if you get halfway through the opening scene in Grandpa Wing's shop, and you've had at least 5
trigger warnings,
racist or mock Chinese voices by the presenters, stop right there.
Yeah,
that's all I was getting, George. And I was like,
I think it's safe to assume that the three twats from Three Twat Media, 3TM as we'll call them,
3TM,
are all white.
Of course.
They probably wear backwards baseball caps.
Absolutely.
And they're all named Brody.
But the three letter, what was it? Three Red Letter Media?
Yeah.
Red Letter Media. I did enjoy this one as well, George. They know their stuff, and they've got a bunch of commentary tracks on there. So I would encourage you to check them out. I haven't, only this one. But if they're anything like this one, they are good. They're quite insightful. They've got some good ideas. They've got some good takes on things. Some not so good takes on things. I feel we'll get into some of those.
And they did miss a lot of things. I feel like they missed a good number of bits and pieces they could have thrown in there. Little trivia facts that I assure you were covered in our show, but they overlooked.
Another thing about this one, George, is that they recorded it on the day that, or the day after Trump got elected.
Yep.
So that weighed pretty heavy for about 5 minutes, and then the movie kicked in, and then they just mostly forgot about it.
Yeah, I wish it were that easy. George. Say what?
That's the power of Gremlins.
You forget all about your troubles.
Exactly. About the start, one of them says, awkward, clunky opening, including Rand's commentary. No establishing shot. And I kind of thought, hey, what? I totally disagree with that.
No, I thought the whole thing was establishing. They did point out the whole sailor taking the Chinese hooker into the alley, which I missed. I guess my brain is too pure for that, because I was completely overlooking the fact that that's what was going on. And you watch it and you think, yeah, that's basically what's going on.
Oh, we mentioned that, George.
Did we?
Absolutely, come on. Yeah,
it's been a long time, Neil.
It has been a long time. They missed the nuns.
Oh, the good nuns and yeah.
Yeah, they missed the nuns. But yeah, no, I think there is. I mean, the Rand's walk down towards the shop, the exact opening shot, is an establishing shot, I think. And his actual commentary is establishing. I mean, that brings you into the world. It brings you into the lore. And, you know, the whole mysticism around Grandpa's shop also does that. And you know, I think that is a great way to get you into this movie, this creepy, kind of low-lit, weird... And you know, even the back alley, it's all red and dark and dingy. I think it really is a great opening. I don't think it's clunky at all. I think it establishes the movie perfectly.
Yeah, and I would just like to point out that the number of sailors in this shot does lend credence to my belief that their Chinatown is the San Francisco Chinatown, not the New York Chinatown.
You know, you don't have sailors in New York?
Not nearly as many. It's not a port town like San Francisco is.
That's true. That's true. That does get somewhat debunked in the sequel, though, George. Unless you're going back to your franchise theory.
No, they're just like, he just traveled across country. Mm. Or grandfather had a portal that kind of like crossed.
Well, it could be.
Yeah, like a little
mystic portal.
Portal.
Yeah.
It's like saying portal. But
they also complain. I mean, when I say complain, it's a mild complaint, because they generally love this movie. But they do criticize a little bit some of the aspects of the movie that they think don't pay off. And they give a couple of examples here. Gerald's character, or the character Gerald, and Rand's bad inventions.
I mean, now we get inventions kind of scattered throughout. The thing is, like, I don't think that the inventions aspect is like a Chekhov's gun. There are points when they get used to a greater or lesser extent, but I do think that they're really just sort of like establishing the kookiness of Rand and the weirdness of the Pelter household, who lives in constant fear of these things. But I mean, it had Billy wound up the movie showing up with like a Rand invented lawnmower and just like taking out. Like a radio control lawnmower, they just took out like a swath of gremlins or left and right. That wouldn't have been good. I like the way it went. I don't think that we needed to have the Chekhov juicer
payoff. Yeah, I totally agree. I just see them as a running comedic theme rather than anything that needs to amount to anything. It's they're fine as they are. It's
just so a little, fuck like, off, Red Letter Media. Relief.
Yeah. Does this movie? I mean, Gerald's character as well. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there is a deleted scene. They do mention it, that it was deleted.
Yeah, where he's in the bank vault and he's kind of like lost his shit and he's a little nutso and he's kind of like freaking out a little bit. But I don't think that's necessary, because once Kate gets a sick burn on him, you don't really need to see Gerald's character anymore.
I think that is his exit, isn't it? I mean, he doesn't really need to come back. It was a good cut, I think. And it, you know, it would have been about an hour between seeing Gerald last. So you kind of forgotten about him anyway. So it would have been weird, yeah. I don't know. To be honest, George, you know, this movie to me is as tight as it needs to be. It does have a little kind of, you know, a little fat in it. Just enough, I think. I don't think this movie doesn't need to be as tight as, say, Back to the Future or something like that.
I can't think of anything I would take out of it. Like, and that's the sort of thing. Perfection isn't like there's nothing else you can add. It's like when you take everything away that doesn't need to be there, what's left? And I can't think of anything else you would remove.
No. And I can't think of anything else you would need to add either. It's just like, you know, there was also that whole scene. They don't talk about this. Oh, maybe they talk about it a little bit. There's the whole kind of Mrs. Deagle's plot against the town. That, you know, it's kind of interesting to see it on, you know, in the deleted scenes. But I don't think you need it in the movie.
You don't need
all.
To make her any worse than she already is. Like, at the point that she has been established, she's willing to stick a dog in a dryer just because it broke the snowman. That's all the character development. You do not need to have her go on, like, Mr. Burns maniacally behind a desk talking about how she's going to turn Kingston Falls into a paper mill.
That would be worse. Like, it's perfect as it is. You know, her character is exactly what you need her to be. You don't need any more. It's fine.
Yeah.
I was listening to this this commentary track, George, in mostly in a bookstore. I was just walking about listening to it, taking notes on the phone. And sometimes when they're not saying anything on the track, there's like a little music or a little jazz music or something in the background.
Yeah.
And I was like, is that the bookstore? Or is that them?
Nope.
And I had to kind of like take my headphones off.
Yeah. I guess that was their way of going like, oh, we just can't let them listen to like 10 minutes of silence. So we should probably put some smooth jazz behind it.
Well, that's what I thought. And when I realized, oh yeah, they probably can't like play the movie on low volume, like the proper commentary tracks, like the official commentary track.
Oh, so they had to cut it out. Or maybe they had it on headphones or something.
They just didn't have it. Yeah, I think they, yeah, exactly. So they must have thought, well, crumbs is like 30 seconds where we don't even say anything. We can't have dead air.
And it wasn't even like it wasn't like Mingus or anything like that. It was just the most generic jazz that you can imagine.
It was weird. Really confused me for a bit. I did find their commentary quite entertaining, actually. There's a lot of pop culture touch points and... they kind of, you know, go back to when they first saw the movie and it's not massively insightful.
Yeah, other than surprising me with the hooker thing, which I forgot about, there wasn't anything that they revealed that was like, oh, like, yeah, they talked about the PG-13 rating and a lot of the puppetry stuff that was that was hard to deal with and like how hard the bar scene was. You talk about that, but it's not, there wasn't anything going like, what? Just blowing the top off of my Gremlins knowledge. But you and I have spent more time than the average individual looking at this movie. So
that's true.
That bar has been set.
I think it would have been impossible for them to come up with anything, George. But that's just me saying that, you know.
Just as a little teaser, I feel like there was more insightful information for Gremlins 2 in their review of it than there was for me on Gremlins 1. But maybe that's because I like Gremlins 1 way more, and so I've seen it so many times, and like I was really enthusiastic about this movie.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. That is a little teaser there, George. Don't give away too much. Keep it. They talk about Ghostbusters. The Ghostbusters was released the same weekend as Gremlins, mm-hmm. as you listeners well know.
Yep. Thanks to
they,
us.
Did you prefer Gremlins or Ghostbusters when they came out or when you were young, when you first kind of saw those movies?
Well, I saw Ghostbusters at the theater, and I remember as a kid, even like in, was it 7 years old, in like, what's an 84? Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it, so... Gremlins wasn't something I came until I was much older and developed a love for it then. But Ghostbusters has been a staple of my life since I saw it in the theater.
Right. And what about now? How do you kind of think about these two movies differently now? Like, how do you place these two together now?
I still think they're both extremely high quality movies. I feel like I would be more inclined to put Ghostbusters on in the background versus Gremlins.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Like, if I were scrolling through Netflix, I'm like, oh, shit, Ghostbusters is on Netflix. Cool. I'm just like, I hit it, and I'm going to go, like, do something else, clean or whatever, but, like, having it on the background. Whereas Gremlins, I would be more inclined to only put it on if I were going to sit down and watch it.
Do you think that's an interesting one? So, Gremlins, you feel, is a movie that you actually need to watch and pay attention to and enjoy. Whereas Ghostbusters, you feel like you can have it on and still get something out of it, even just having it on in the background.
Yeah. Well, I also think that because the acting performances are stronger, I think the script is stronger, like the everything is a little bit more heavy-hitting as far as Ghostbusters goes, whereas Gremlins has got a lot of like fun stuff to it, but I just don't think that if you're going to put two to two, I don't think it's sort of apples and oranges, but I do think that in this case, I prefer the apples a little bit better.
That's interesting. Okay. They are considerably different. I mean, I think Ghostbusters feels like it's got higher stakes. Whereas this feels like, well, I guess because it's set in just this isolated small town. I think Gremlins is, I find Gremlins more enjoyable than watching Ghostbusters. But I do think Ghostbusters does have, as you say, better acting, George. And it probably has better script. But I think overall, I prefer Gremlins.
Hmm.
That's just my take. They just, I did have a chuckle in the bookstore, George, when they described Gizmo as being cute in a way that an ugly little animal is.
Did you, when they said cute, did you just put your hand into a row of books and just sweep them off the shelf?
I had to pause for a second, but then when they then went on to say ugly little animal, I thought, yes.
Finally, well, here's vindication, the thing, you know, George. You can't, like, it's funny that you bring this up now in the context of where we are in society, zeitgeist and all that. Mm-hmm. We are currently slapped in the middle of the baby Yoda craze.
Yep.
Everybody is completely enamored with the small Yoda creature that is on the Mandalorian. And it is ugly but adorable at the same time. Gizmo's the exact same thing.
I disagree.
Obviously you have a preference. What is it about Gizmo that still makes you go, eh? Whereas Baby Yoda, you're like, I need that tattooed on my butt.
I think it's interesting because Baby Yoda.
How's that healing up, by the way, Neil? By the way,
what's that?
How's your tattoo healing up, by the way? Is it a little tender?
Wait, my little Baby Yoda on the left butt or Stripe on the right?
Oof. They're reaching for each other. They're like, you know, God and Adam. And
if I clench, then they touch fingers.
In the Sistine Chapel. That's graphic, Neil. Thank you for that.
Sure. Baby Yoda to me moves in a very similar way to Gizmo. He doesn't have kind of dynamic movement. He feels like a proper puppet. Yeah. He doesn't feel like he's a CGI. So, but I think I think he ostensibly is cuter, Baby Yoda. I don't think he has on a close up the kind of old face that Gizmo does. I'm Baby Yoda all the way.
Do you have a fondness for those hairless cats?
You know what? I've always thought it would be quite interesting to have one of those.
Yeah, because it would feel like petting a testicle, Neil. A testicle that purrs.
The cat thing, not the
a testicle with a nightmare face and purrs.
Oh, the poor things. It's not their fault, George.
Yeah, they're bred that way, but it still would feel like grabbing onto a meaty, meaty man ball sack.
Where are you going with this, George?
Just because if you have some sort of kinship for the weird hairless cat animal, yet the furry fuzzy Gizmo, you're like, no, oh, no, never. Then it's interesting that I think it might be the hair. You have a weird hair phobia.
Well,
because Baby Yoda looks like a green testicle with ears.
Oh, kind of. I think you kind of. I don't know if some of our listeners would agree with that, George. Green testicle analogy.
With ears.
With ears.
Big ears.
Oh, he's cute though, little Baby Yoda, and he's you know, does cute things.
Yeah, if you want to nuzzle up a little testicle on your face, that sounds great.
Hey, whatever works, George. You gotta do what feels right. If you want to snuggle up with a little hairless green testicle, and a weird cat with no hair.
They're saying, Neil, like you felt like you sound like you have your Friday night planned.
Mate, if I had those two things here, that's what I'd be doing.
It's like, right, I am not leaving the house.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't leave the house if Baby Yoda was here. Neither would you, George.
He could handle himself. He got the force powers.
All right. Well, look. What else did they talk about on this? This commentary, George, they don't talk about Billy very much, do they?
Nope. And there's a reason for that, because he is a center cut hole in celluloid that no light shall pass through.
Well, I mean, what is there to say, really?
You're like, oh, yeah, you're in that too. Cool.
There's the Billy guy. They talk about him him being in waxwork and stuff, don't they?
They mention that.
And then they say, one of them says something like, do you think Zach Galligan wakes up every morning and checks his phone to see if anyone's called him about Gremlins 3?
And the answer is yes. every single day.
That made me laugh out loud in the book, in the bookstore, George, and people looked at me.
Because, yeah.
Oh, boy. Good old Zach. One thing they mention is when they see the Smokey the Bear poster, George, they talk about something about The Shining, and there's a Shining conspiracy. Do you know what that's all about?
About only The Shining can prevent forest fires?
I don't know. I don't know what it's about. It's got its own little musical sting as well. Any listeners know?
Nope. I don't know.
Listeners, do you know what the Shining conspiracy theory linked to Smokey the Bear is? Please let us know. I suppose I could Google it, but let's leave it to you. I don't know. They give Dick Miller a lot of love, which is great.
Well deserved. As long as he's not Mr. Futterman.
Well, even when he is Mr. Futterman, George, you got to still love Dick. Miller.
It depends on how hairless his testicles are.
You would love Dick Miller even if he had hairless testicles. If you were sitting opposite Dick Miller having breakfast and he happened to mention that he's bald down there, you would be fine with it.
I'm pretty sure he shaves.
Well, maybe he used to. God rest his soul. We shall never know, George, I suspect. Anything else that stuck out for you, George, that you talked about?
No, because we've actually sort of hit the stretch where they stopped kind of like firing Fast and Furious, also a different show. And then they sort of like dwindled, and now it gets kind of the quiet parts. And they kind of pipe back up near the end where they're like, oh, yeah, well, and they give their thoughts on the movie and that sort of thing. But for the most part, you know, it's like a good solid 30, 40 minutes of just like, you know, solid information, and then they start to get quiet.
A lot of love.
But like I said, if you've seen a movie 100 times and it still draws you in while you're recording media for it, then I'd say the movie stands.
Yeah, I agree. And this is three good mates watching a movie they love, having a good time with it. And it is enjoyable to listen. Now, looking back, George, on our series about Gremlins, what is your favorite scene in the movie? Looking back now,
looking back on the first movie, I think that I think the funniest scene for me, the scene that I always like, oh shit, this is on, I gotta watch it, is everything involving Mrs. Deagle and her demise.
All right.
From the opening of like showing the sign at Deagle Manor, like they're open for like, what, 2 hours a day on Thursdays or something. And then all the way to her flying out of the window and then goes, Jesus, Frank, was that Mrs. Deagle? Like the whole bit. That's constantly, I have to watch that.
Yeah.
That's like, if no matter what's going on, if that movie is on, I will stop, watch that one scene, and then everything else can kind of go on. But there's something about the timing, Polly Holiday's performance, the build-up, the structure of the scene, and how it goes from very, very low-key to like hostile to scary to fast to like, and then the unexpected exploding out of the window. That's probably my favorite scene in the whole movie.
Ooh, nice. Good choice, George. Because you got the two policemen in there as well, haven't you? You got the sheriff and deputy. You got the carol singing gremlins.
If someone could draw an image, talking about you, Phil,
Micah,
of the house and like just kind of like a abstract of the street, but just the house and the window, and then Mrs. Deagle's chair exploding out of the window and like freezing it midair, maybe like five feet from the window, caught in the air. And just have like a rough like an abstract of this. I would wear that T-shirt to my grave.
Yeah, that would be awesome. If only
we knew someone who was probably one of the best artists I've seen on this planet with any medium would happen to be interested in creating this thing, then give us a call.
Are you saying we would stick it on a T-shirt from George?
Oh, oh yeah, cool. Yeah. If you feel me.
I feel you. You're dragging this, or you're drag-ashing this.
Yeah, just drag-ashing around. I'm drag-ashing a little bit.
Let's see what we can do. Let's see what we can do. I think looking back, George, my favorite scene is everything from starting with when you first hear, "Do you hear what I hear?"
So the kitchen scene, that's what gets you for you?
Yeah.
And then, that's classic.
And then Mrs. Peltzer, the eyes, all starts in the eyes, doesn't mm-hmm. it? It's just the eyeball moves. And then going downstairs, seeing the gremlins, destroying them, especially the guy she skewers with the kitchen knife onto the chopping board. This poor guy.
Just pins him, and he's still alive. He's still not
loving,
dead.
They were loving this on Red Letter Media. The fact that he's still kicking in the background. They were creasing up. It's funny. Yeah, and the whole microwave bit, and then which I think is iconic, and mm-hmm. then going into the living room, the hobo in the Christmas tree, Christmas rope, the whole thing with Gremlin trying to strangle her with the Christmas rope, and then just cut right before Zach Galligan comes in. No, you can have Zach Galligan come in too. And
I mean, do I like the decapitation. I mean, he's got to have some merit.
Yeah, he does kill one. He does manage to kill one. And then ending all the way up to when Stripe blows his nose on the curtain. I think that's it for me. I'm done. That was perfection. That's perfect, like 10-minute sequence.
Yeah, I mean that is really solid. I really do like the flow of that one as well. I like the concise nature of Mrs. Deagle's demise, but I do like the mm-hmm. like the viciousness that is undertone, mm-hmm. like the undertone of viciousness that is in that scene. It's really good, really good.
She, she has it. It's innate in Mrs. Peltzer, isn't it? In Lynn, she just has it in there.
She's a beast. She's a secret beast.
She just
needed
the gremlins to bring out in it.
Yep.
See, gremlins helping people, George.
In a small moment of where are they now, I honestly tried to look this up, but I couldn't actually confirm. I have a feeling. I've been watching a lot of Hulu lately. I will definitely, if you want a few TV show recommendations, people, I will recommend Reprisal on Hulu and Killing Eve on Hulu. Both are phenomenal shows. So
Killing
good.
Eve's the BBC.
Exactly. It's so good.
It's two series of that, I think, isn't it, George?
Yeah, and I think they're working on a third one. Or the third one's being released or something like that. But
I heard good things about it. I've never actually seen it.
Killing Eve's wonderful. It's one of the darkest, surprisingly gut-wrenching comedies I've ever seen. It's both horrifying and hilarious at the same time. There's moments that you will be like shocked that you're laughing at something and you'll hate yourself for laughing. But then like, well, they set it up perfectly. And if you want a show that will completely take you out of, just blindside you every 20 minutes, Killing Eve is the way to go. Reprisal is also great because it's kind of like what Quentin Tarantino was trying to do with all of his movies, except his ego got in the way. It's got this whole like biker vibe to it. It's fun. It's silly, but it's also got a dark edge to it. It's really, really good. But I don't pay for Hulu, so I get the free version, and I am subjected to many, many repetitive commercials. One of them is a prostate medication that specifically tells you not to take it if you're a woman. Can't imagine why that would be an issue, but they specifically say do not take this Ladera.
Jesus.
I can't remember the name of it. If you're a woman, don't take it. I mean,
what the hell are they putting in it?
Well, I mean, who cares? If you're a woman off a prostate, Neil, why would you take a prostate medication?
Well, fair enough.
It does specifically say like, yeah, by the way, if you take this medication, no big deal, but use birth control for like 3 months because if you get a chick pregnant while you're on this stuff, you'll have a monster baby.
Wow.
Yeah.
So again, what the hell are they putting in it?
And it's one of those drugs that seems to have more horrific side effects. Like it might cause a terrible brain disease, diarrhea, death, but also, you know, maybe you live about 6 months longer on your prostate if you take this stuff, that sort of thing. Anyway. Whoa. So that's one commercial I have to see all the time. Another one is a lottery scratch-off commercial, and I am 99% sure that the old lady in this commercial is Jackie Joseph.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was wondering why you...
Yeah. There's a bit of a setup. I had to work it in there, but
yeah,
it's a nice old commercial. It's like two old people doing these scratch-off tickets, and the old guy scratches. He sees he won something, and then she gets up to answer the doorbell, and he swaps them so that she can actually see like she won something. It's really sweet.
Mr. Futterman move.
Yeah, but it's absolutely Jackie Joseph. If you guys know what I'm talking about, I've seen this commercial, back me up on this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I've got a new show that I was been watching, George, that I would recommend. It's a brand new sci-fi series called Quantum Leap. really good.
Oh boy!
I don't know if you've caught it yet, George, but it's about a guy who goes kind of back in time through this machine, uh-huh. and kind of leaps from a
continuously, yeah,
into a new guy and into someone else. But he's them, but everyone else sees the real person, but it's really him.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, shenanigans ensue. He's got a guy from the future who kind of he can see, no one else can
yeah.
see.
Yeah, sounds like a cool premise.
Really cool. I highly recommend checking it out. It's brand new. I've never come across it before.
Man, you guys definitely get some interesting TV releases in the UK.
Check it out, man. I've seen the actor somewhere before, Scott something. He was in something else I saw, but I can't remember. But and then the old guy.
He was in Dune.
From the future. He was in Dune, yeah. I mean, yeah. He's holding up pretty well, actually, George. Yeah, I thought he'd be a lot older than he was.
For being a weird, creepy space doctor.
And he was in Beverly Hills Cop 2 as well, George. I quite like that one. That's one of my. That's one I would have on in the background, George. Beverly Hills Cop 2.
If you had an actor from Dune who was going to work in your grocery store, who would you want it to be?
Oh, it would have to be Patrick Stewart.
I personally prefer Dean Stockwell.
Well, I mean, I love Dean. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it's Captain Picard.
I mean, only if he brings the pug.
Yeah, you'd have to bring the pug as well. Yeah, that would be brilliant. Check it out, George. Quantum Leap.
I'll see if it's available in America. I don't know if it's released over here yet.
I don't know if maybe it's only on our side of the pond so far. One thing they also talk about, George, just swinging it back to this commentary, just very briefly, is something that I thought we probably maybe why don't we keep this for part two of these special episodes, George? Because they talk about like Gremlins 3,
yeah,
and what they come up with some theories or what they kind of think it might look like, and you know whether it's a reboot or it's another sequel or whatever. But they also then talk about some of that stuff in their Gremlins 2 discussion, which I've totally just spoiled what part 2 is about.
What are you talking about? I'm going to bleep all of that. I'm going to bleep it all.
We can just we'll park that, George, for our next one. How about
that's a teaser, folks.
There you go. Come up with your why don't you listeners come up with your own theories about Gremlins 3? What you would like to see. And then once George and I have a chat about it, we can all share in our collected wisdom about what should happen.
Gremlins 3, make it. After dark.
Don't make it. Is what they should do. But yeah, why don't we park that for the next one, George?
Consider it parked.
All right. Well, I think that's probably it for this one.
Yeah, they're going to wrap this one up. Put a button on it or button it up or whatever term you want to use involving buttons. Loosen up the buttons, touch my buttons, rub my buttons.
Which buttons, though, George?
All the buttons, Neil. All of them.
Are you a button fly guy or a zip fly, George?
I haven't owned a pair of button fly jeans in 15 years, Neil.
What? Seriously?
What's the point?
All my jeans are button fly, George.
You want to know what? Yeah, that's great until you have to go pee and you only have one hand.
I can manage. I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, do them back up with one hand, Neil.
Yeah, that's not as easy. What, are you saying that you can do the zipper up with one hand?
Absolutely.
From a spread jean?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Do you want me to post a
Come
video
on,
of it?
Come on, George. If any of the listeners who live in Denver, go and see George. I want him to show you.
Yeah,
him.
My bathroom, your bathroom, we'll pick one.
Anyone's bathroom is fine.
Maybe a public bathroom. We'll get a video camera out. Ladies, you're welcome. Guys as well. I don't care. Whatever.
I need eyeballs on George's fly.
My junk.
You can keep them in the pants, George.
No, Neil. I got to go all the way. I'm method.
Okay. Right, well, that might put some of the listeners off.
So you got to do like
maybe
a one-handed.
Maybe not some of the others.
You got to do like the flip tuck one-handed. you got to reverse fold. Into a flip tuck.
A flip tuck. Oh man, we need video evidence of this, George. We need either post the video or someone needs to eyeball it.
And I just want you to know, Mil, I have mastery of all five of my balls.
Good God!
Yeah,
you sound like something from Dune.
It's like a bunch of grapes down there.
How's it going on Way to Doom Minute anyway?
It's coming along.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. It's actually happening, is it?
Yeah. Yep. Coming along.
Are you sure?
Yep.
It's,
I just want to point out that we are definitely putting the weight in Way to Dune Minute. We are 100% on brand.
You will just have to wait. Can't hurry love, George.
Nope.
Just have to wait. Well, on that note, why don't we cue the outro music and
here it is.
Moseying over to part two.
Yep. All right, people. See you next time, or hear you next time. I guess we won't hear you, but you'll hear us, because unless you just download this and then delete it, then whatever. But as long as we get the download, we don't really care.
Don't do that.
Shh.
Listen. Have a listen.
Yeah.
And we'll see you soon.
Yeah. All right. Until then, Neil and I are out.
We are out of here. Like something leaving a nest or something. I don't know why I was going with that.
Yeah, that's a weird takeaway there, Neil.
Mm. We're leaving like two leaving things.
A nested developer.
The leaving one.
Because you can't do that unless you have a bitey. Body. A bitey. A bitey body.
A bitey. No.
A bitey. That sounds,
well, some biteys in this
sounds
movie.
Intense. Yeah, there's a lot of biteys. People getting things nibbled on, and not in a good way.